Welcome to the party! We are back. It's Jervis on the mic. I got the squid odd in the house. My bro skis, bravo.
What's you hear squid me? Odd?
We'll get to you later on that.
Squid odd.
I thought it was Squidward.
We're back. We got a great show for y'all tonight. We're talking about anti-heroes. That's what the theme is for tonight. But first, shout out to our sponsor, Eight and Sam Brewery, over in Woodbury, New Jersey.
That we are currently drinking right goddamn now.
Yeah. We got some good stuff in here tonight. Me and Jorge went there Sunday, rocked out. Jorge was getting a little tipsy. I had to cut him off because he had to go to work.
I was like, this shit good.
Come on, man. Responsibility.
Yeah, they go down easy over there. So, yeah, we had a good time over
Smooth
there.
Smooth ass
eggs. Yeah, definitely check them out. They're right here close to us in Woodbury, New Jersey. And we'll be out there again probably this weekend, right? Jorge, what you doing?
Yeah, we'll be there this weekend. We'll be there, Friday, Saturday?
Sunday.
Shit, we'll be the resident drunks.
probably. Yo, we got Jorge in the house tonight. He's working on our Instagram live feed, so y'all check that out. You can follow us on Instagram live. We got some questions that we put up today, so answer the questions on the feed. Jorge's going to read some of those responses out. Bravo. What's good, man?
Lots of things, man. How are you?
Well, tell me a couple things that's so good.
I'm here.
That's Which not good for everybody, us, bravo. Sir. That might be good for you. That's not everybody.
No, I think it's good that I missed last week. We know how treacherous that could have gotten if I was here.
We were happy, too, you weren't here.
Let's just say it would have been a gender divide.
We took note of that, bravo. We took note. And then it's your boy, Ed.
It's your boy, Ed. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Everything's going good, man. Just preparing for this week. This weekend, I got the Play NYC convention that I'm going to be a part of both Saturday and Sunday. Checking out all the indie games that are going to be there at the show, all the hardworking developers, local talent, everything else. It's going to be
Dead
a fun
Cells
time.
Going to be there?
What's that?
Dead Cells? Yes?
I don't know. I'll see.
Where's that going to be at?
It's going to be at the Manhattan Center in New York City. Tickets are still available now.
Nice. And then we got that brother James.
Hey.
Grandmaster
what's
Facts.
What's happening, man?
Are we using Grandmaster Facts anymore? You just brother James.
No, man. You can use whatever you like. I've gone by both names and I've actually equated to both. It's actually worked out very well. Thank you.
I would it. Works for me.
Sponsored by Ethan Sand.
Hold that drink up.
What's good, man? You came straight from work again?
Yeah, man. I could never get home to change in time, man. I gotta literally run out the door with looking like Captain Saberman.
You can bring a change of clothes in the car, man.
I could, but it's not
Why
my
you
style.
Wanna watch the man change in his car?
Yeah, straight up.
I ain't say all that.
Why does it matter?
I don't know, man. It was pretty
I
much
did
in there.
Not say that.
I don't know. I've learned to read between the lines.
AJ, what it do?
Don't try to change the subject.
AJ,
yo, what's up?
That's all right, man. Call him out on that, man. He was trying to tell me I had to get dressed in my drawers and everything
what's
in my
good,
car.
AJ.
I'll tell you what's good. You know, this new BlazBlue DLC, right, new Dragon Ball FighterZ DLC, new Street Fighter DLC, the indie game Dead Cells Phenomenal just came out, but not to change the subject. Why do you want to look at him changing his car?
James, you don't got a Deadpool shirt in your car?
No, actually I don't.
Don't worry,
I do
I'll
have
get
two,
you one. Hold on.
Two Black Panther shirts in my house. You know what I'm saying?
We'll deal with that. So tonight, like I said, we're talking about the anti-hero. So we're going to start off with this Venom trailer. They dropped the second trailer for Venom. The first trailer, I think, I'll speak for myself, I was like, eh.
Yeah, because it didn't show much.
I don't know, yeah. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this off
or anything.
More focus on
Andy Brock, if anything.
The second trailer was straight fire.
Yeah.
Now, I think that this might be actually good. I mean, look. We know.
Are you saying you're giving Sony a chance?
But I think so. You know what? I think Sony should just do one simple thing. Do their movies that they want to do. You know, do all the Spider-Man villains and other characters that you want to do, but make everything R-rated. That's it.
Kind of like what Fox did at the end.
Right.
With Logan.
Nobody's
stuff like that.
Doing it. You knocked it out with Deadpool. So.
I mean, it is going to be kind of difficult to have a character that's known for eating people's heads and not keep it R.
Well, we had a character who had claws come out of his hands, and it was an R for a long time.
True. Straight PG-13,
so
man.
You can't do it.
He looked like he was punching people half the
But
movie.
Right, it's not done well. Wait, so think about
did
that.
Did they confirm if this movie was R or PG? Or
it's probably PG-13, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say that I even know what the rating they left it at.
But there's a fine line you have to tote to get that rating. But I mean, Venom biting somebody's head off, that's lovely. That's straight from the comics. That's what we want to see. That's the Venom I want to see. And I think from that second trailer, they hit it. They nailed it. So I'm hyped to see this movie.
Well, this is the thing. They may have nailed it, but we haven't seen any fight scenes yet.
True. But as of now, like, and we know
the
trailer, we know the trailers always hype us up. That's
of course.
The point of a trailer.
Of course.
So this trailer has done its job for me. I'm hyped. Mm-hmm. I'm hyped and ready to see this movie.
I'm at odds a little bit because I do love the trailer, but I know that the main antagonist is another symbiote, which is a Riot, by the way.
Right.
And the final showdown between those two, how is that going to look on the big screen? I know how it looks in the comics. Mm-hmm. It looks fucking dope. But how is that going to be portrayed on the big screen? Like, is that fun? Like, all right, I say this, like, is it going to turn into, oh man, I'm trying to think of the movie. Like, not to say it's like Transformers at the end, like the final showdown at any of the Transformer movies where like the trailer would seem kind of
like Predator versus Predator.
Yeah. Where it just was like everything leading up to the final showdown was the shit. And then the final fight happened.
Right.
And it was like
Wonder Woman.
Why the fuck did I waste my time?
Right.
I mean, I don't want it to turn to that.
Right. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But as of right now, I'm digging it.
So,
AJ?
Apparently, I've read an article. There are some rumors from trustworthy sources that the early test screenings for the movie are actually pretty positive, but they all have one common denominator. Everyone keeps asking, where the hell is Spider-Man? Apparently, that's
like,
apparently, people are like, oh, that's a good movie. But like, how does this fit into the MCU? Because like, people associate Venom heavily with Spider-Man. That's... So allegedly, they're trying to like find a way to squeeze Spider-Man into this movie last minute.
No, there's no point in doing that. They're not doing the same origin thing. They're doing kind of their own where, oh, this guy finds the symbiotes somehow rather than the symbiote being attached to Spider-Man first and then becoming his Venom. And it's... I don't know how it's going to work. I'm interested to see... all the rumors about Carnage going to be in there and everything like that. And I was kind of glad that he wasn't going to be the main antagonist because I feel Carnage needs his own movie. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it is...
That storyline for Carnage is legit.
Yeah.
Cletus is like a fucking maniac.
Yeah. Even if it's going to be Venom 2, that's fine, just as long as the movie builds up Carnage in its way. With what we've seen, we already knew, like... All right, if Carnage is going to be in this, it's going to be, I'm the evil version of you. So I was really happy to hear that he wasn't going to be the main villain.
But is that so far off from Riot being the main villain?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because Carnage is in fucking sane.
Oh, gotcha. All right, which one?
Carnage, so that everybody understands how, the difference between someone like Eddie Brock and Cletus Kasady. The Carnage symbiote was a perfect fusion, whereas Venom and Eddie Brock have separated several times. They had to come to an understanding, and they do refer to each other as we. Whereas Carnage just refers to it as itself as one being. There is no Cletus Kasady. There is no the symbiote. There's just Carnage. And he says I all the time. And he loves murdering people. Always has since he was little. Even when the symbiote was somehow defeated and taken away from him, he just covered himself in red paint and went on a killing spree.
That's a crazy motherfucker right there.
Yeah.
Now, did you notice in the trailer they made a change? And a huge change was one of my biggest pet peeves. When people say the wrong name, they didn't say symbiote like they did in the first trailer.
I remember that.
They all say symbiote in this trailer.
Symbiote. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They got it right. The way you're supposed to say it.
I think it's just the one girl whose lines always just kept saying symbiote.
It was that Michelle Williams, right?
Yeah.
It was her that said it.
Listen, I get it. If you've never heard the term symbiote and you're like, oh, well, symbiosis, like, because you're going off of a scientific term. Yes. Except even in the scientific term, symbiote is still pronounced symbiote, not symbiote.
It's real simple to me.
Yeah. It's just like evolution and evolve.
Now the whole history of the symbiotes, it's basically there's a father host, and then there's offspring of that host, which is mainly like Riot, Carnage.
So almost every single symbiote that we come into contact through the comics, almost every single one, is a child off of Venom.
Right.
Most of them are... So the very first one was Carnage, and the rest were actually pulled from him when he was captured. The eggs were, like, taken. And then there were ones that merged, that became hybrid. Carnage had a child named Toxin. Who his web shooting was a chain.
Yeah.
Like, and he was stronger than Venom and Carnage combined.
Who's the one that's almost Hulk-like? He's like incredibly... It's Riot, right?
Riot. And Venom, when he gets Mac Garland as his host, the Scorpion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... They just did something new in the comics, though. I don't even know if you know about this.
Are you talking about the symbiote god?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's fairly recent.
Yeah.
That they just did.
What, the symbiote god?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Go ahead.
Did you read it?
I haven't read it, but I've heard about it, and I'm looking so much into reading about this shit.
Did you read it, Bravo?
I didn't read it in its entirety.
He looks like the fucking the three-eyed raven from Game of Thrones.
Oh, see, to me, I thought he looked like fucking Immortan Joe.
No, he looks...
Yeah. He looks like Immortan Joe from Mad Max. He wants some milk, man. That's all he wants in his life.
They have changed this whole origin story of the symbiote, one thing they added to it, now you kind of find out why Venom has a fear of fire and sonic sounds and things like that. So it's just something Marvel, I think it's come out in the past couple of months, this new comic. So you guys need to check that out too. It's just another layer to this whole symbiote family. And everything is pretty. What little bit I read about it was pretty dope. So I can't wait to read the comic myself.
They said, they were saying the similarities to it are like the queen from Alien.
Yeah, it's like a hive mind.
Yeah, it's like basically Null is like
Null was around before
before symbiote
creation.
Exists. Yeah,
you know the Celestials.
Cool.
The Celestials came out.
He looks cool as shit.
And he
right?
cut off a Celestial's head. Yep. Like so, it's just crazy. I think Marvel, is doing a thing with this. Like I said, I can't wait to read it myself.
Yeah.
But it should be pretty dope.
So, I actually like the Toxin series as well. That was really
cool. Toxin was pretty cool. Yeah. That was a pretty cool series. And
Poisons.
Poisons,
that's what I meant. Poisons. The Poisons was actually really, really cool.
So based off of the first impressions thus far, do you think Sony made the right decision to make Venom its own standalone thing separate from the MCU?
Initially,
they should have merged it.
Initially, I was not feeling it because they had just lost Spider-Man had just joined the MCU, but it was a partnership. And then Sony just decided, okay, we're going to try and feed off of this and maybe we can just introduce the first. You remember we heard about a Sinister Six movie that was going to happen.
Yeah. And then that got crushed.
It was like, no, fuck no. We're going to introduce six characters.
Good job,
villains.
Andrew Garfield.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to introduce six characters right away. No, that's not going to happen. So then all of a sudden, we heard about the Venom movie and it was like, no, don't do that. That's going to be really fucked up. Like really do not do that. So, when the trailer came out, it was more of like an impress mode. Like, okay, can I fulfill the audience's request to prove that I can make this character as it is? It's been above average so far. But once again, we have to see the movie. And then, of course, they were going to ride into a couple more Marvel villains. We have Morbius.
Yep, Morbius is going to be the big one.
With Jared Leto. And then we have Kraven the Hunter is now in development.
So what
there's
if there's
conversation
like,
about that oh, one.
Fuck.
I have a theory. I have a theory that all of these solo Spider-Man villain movies do take place in the MCU.
Okay.
So think about it this way. End of Infinity
I saw
Wars.
This in the chat that you
yeah,
said.
Yeah, yeah,
that
I just
you
said
were
in the chat, but
I'll say I was it. Actually feeling that.
I'll
okay.
say it in here. So like, at the end, Spider-Man dies, half the universe is wiped out. What if the big twist in the Venom movie is that it does take place in the MCU, and the reason you don't see Spider-Man or anyone else is because they're all dead from Thanos' snap. Like, it takes place in between Infinity Wars and like
whatever.
That would take a whole lot of self-control for Sony not to kind of reveal its placement either, especially considering that do you have these other villain movies that are coming out? Are you going to say that, conveniently every other villain movie takes place in that time period?
Well, do that twist with the Venom movie. They'd be like, okay. Yeah, all of this is in the MCU, and then they can kind of lead up to the Sinister Six. And honestly, all they need to do is like Kraven the Hunter, Venom, and what's the other one that's doing so? Mobius?
Morbius.
And then, obviously, they already introduced the Vulture.
Homecoming.
Doc Ock.
The next
if you want to go, if you want to go old school, Doc Ock and Green Goblin, and
so like they introduce like one or two more villains in like, you know, the next Spider-Man movie. They do the other two solo villain movies, and then they do the big Sinister Six thing, and that'll be a big thing in the Phase Four.
Is it Mysterio?
Oh, Mysterio is also Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Mysterio is going to be true. In Long Way From Home.
And like honestly, there's no reason why Sony wouldn't do this if they can work it out with Marvel, simply because of the way the deal works. When Spider-Man guest appears in any of the MCU movies like Infinity Wars or Captain America, Marvel still gets 100% of the profits. Sony doesn't make any money. But when there's a solo Spider-Man movie such as Homecoming or Far From Home that's coming out, Sony still gets all the money. They just kind of work out the story and everything together. So it's like a mutual thing. If it's a Spider-Man movie and it's a solo Spider-Man property, Sony gets all the money. If it's like a mixture thing, then Marvel gets all the money.
And see, the funny thing is Marvel technically could do it without them. They technically could, because the whole stipulation is as long as the characters are in the other comics, it's okay. That's why they got away with doing Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, because originally they did show up in the Avengers comics, even though they were originally Magneto's children and they're more prominent in X-Men comics and everything like that. But hey, we got two Quicksilvers out of it.
Yes, we did. And I honestly think the Fox one is a little bit better. But
That's the one thing Fox said.
That's the one thing Fox did not fuck up. You did not fuck up Quicksilver. I hated his outfit. I loved his character.
So we got the lines open tonight. The number's 856-457-8660. 856-457-8660 to be part of the discussion. So this is what I want to do. So here's a definition of an antihero. A central character in a story, movie, or drama who lacks conventional heroic attributes. All right? Here's the definition of a villain. A character whose evil actions or motives are important to the plot. And here's the definition of a hero. A person who is admired or idolized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities.
The only difference is unconventionalism. So if the only way to kill this dude is to throw this skyscraper on him, then I'm probably going to have to rip out this skyscraper. Now, I might kill about like 500 people that are probably on the street, but I did kill the villain.
Listen, I hate the term anti-hero. I think it's the dumbest. I think it's putting an unnecessary label on something. He's an anti-hero because he uses unconventional means. At the end of the day, morality is what it is. Like, listen, is it right for somebody to be shot?
No.
Is it right to shoot somebody to avoid other people being killed? Yes. So at the end of the day, it's all circumstantial. When people talk about anti-heroes, they talk about Venom, they talk about Deadpool, they talk about the Punisher, they talk about all these. Yet all of these characters are always celebrated more than the heroes. Mm-hmm. And it's
and they're all murderers.
Yeah.
So
but criminals.
Not necessarily. But being a murderer with evil intentions makes you an evil guy and a villain, doesn't it?
So here's the thing is, at the end of the day, what they're doing is they're doing similar things. A hero's trying to keep the world exactly how it is. They're trying to keep that stagnation. They're trying to keep the status quo. Whereas in all comics that we ever read, villains are the ones that end up changing the world or doing something different. And or unless if you're talking about like overthrowing the evil empire. But at the end of the day, heroes are doing one thing. Villains are doing the other. No matter what side you're on, it just depends on where you're agreeing with who's the hero.
Yeah.
Well, by definition, it's evil.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. In Man of Steel, was General Zod evil?
In Man of Steel?
In Man of Steel, was
General
Zod?
No, he was not.
Why not?
Because what he was doing was to protect his people.
But he was killing a planet, Jervis.
True. But it was unconventional.
So he wasn't the villain?
So he was an anti-hero.
No anti-hero.
Why not? Yes, there is an anti-hero. Uh-huh. He was an anti-hero.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't a villain.
So would you say in Star Wars, when Darth Vader picked up the Emperor and threw him into the pit to kill him, did he turn from villain to anti-hero or from villain to hero?
He turned from villain to villain.
No, he was a hero.
That's not
the
way
I see it. The Jedi are evil.
Is a hero.
That's the way I see it. The Jedi are evil.
One more question, because I know we got a caller, but based on your definition, somebody who has unconventional means, was Superman snapping Zod's neck being an anti-hero.
How about just any of the heroes in general, since they're vigilantes?
So here's the thing. Here's the way
they're beating the shit out of people and doing false imprisonment. And it's vigilantism. They're breaking multiple crimes. Go ahead, Jerv. Tell me how all our heroes are anti-heroes.
That was the point of the Civil War. That was the point of the Civil War.
I'm just asking a right question there. Here. AJ.
So, like, the way I see an anti-hero, it's someone who does, like, arguably the right thing for the wrong reason. So think of the show Dexter. He's a dude who goes around
killing lots of people,
yes. But he only kills, like, you know, rapists and murderers and things like that. But he's not doing that to, like, make the world a better place. He's doing that because he has, like, an addiction. He has to kill people. But he's doing it kind of selectively.
He's very selective.
For the right reasons.
For the right reasons, but he's not doing it because he's a good person. He's doing it because he's a fucking murderer. So, like, that's kind of the way I see, like, an anti-hero. Like, the Punisher.
So, is he psychologically unconventional?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah,
like
definitely.
Dexter is, like, you know, sociopath.
Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't even say that he was a hero. I would just say he's the protagonist.
So, is there a difference between
that
somebody
is right. He's the murderer.
Somebody who doesn't want to murder women or children, but they'll murder adults.
Okay, so like any mobster in any movie.
So every Charles Bronson Death Wish movie. Right.
So would you consider that person, they have some type of moral and standards where they don't want to touch children or women. But
I feel there is hero and there is villain.
Black and white. So it's black and white for you.
No, I feel that there's scales in between those. However, if you're going to define
it. But the scale in between is any hero, right? The scale in between is any hero.
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not. Because at the end of the day, can you be an anti-villain? You can't be an anti-villain.
Why not? That's a hard word to make up right there.
You can't be an anti-villain.
You could do the wrong things for the right reasons.
What's a right...
Thanos? Anti-villain? Yeah,
but that's the thing is, in that, Thanos is the protagonist. He's the hero in his world. Right. All the people that follow him, he's being a hero.
I've done a lot of right things for the wrong reasons. I've done a lot of wrong things for the right reasons.
Yeah, you have a child, don't you?
Ouch. That's why we have the phrase history is written by the victors.
Correct.
Because this whole conversation in terms of what, like, especially when you're going back to Infinity War, when you look at what Thanos did or what the heroes are trying to do, Thanos won. So he's writing his own history and he feels that he was more correct than anything else. So that made him in his own heart a hero.
All right. We got a caller on the line. Caller, are
wrong.
You
terrible.
Caller, are you there? Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Name's Devin. I'm calling from Avondale, Arizona.
What's up, Devin?
Nice.
How hot is it out there in AZ?
Because it's hot as balls here.
Oh, my God, dude. Well, I think Ghost Rider is a lot colder than I am right now, dude.
Wow. That's hot.
That's a good one.
All right, what you got for us tonight?
Yeah. Here with that whole anti-hero thing, man. So I was listening to your guys' conversations about that, you know? Anti-hero, you know, I don't know, I feel like it's more about, like, what they want, you know? They're, like, they're doing good for themselves, mostly, to help, like, beneficial themselves in the way, like, it's part of their path. You know what I mean? Like, with the whole Venom thing, he's, obviously, he was captured, right? He was captured, being experimented on. He gets captured, he infects Eddie Brock, starts getting powers, fighting off the government, fighting off everything. He's just fighting basically the people who are trying to capture him. And that's what makes him an anti-hero, because it's stopping, like, it's helping out those other people that are being captured and killed because they're being tested on. Right? So in a way, he's a hero because he's saving them.
But what about him trying to murder Spider-Man every chance he gets?
That's what also...
I mean, a lot of editors did that, too.
That, yeah. And that's where that's, like, increases that villain part. You know what I mean? That's where I think he got that main title of villain here. But they're kind of trying to mix it up, I feel like. They're making him more like an anti-hero with this new movie. Because in the comics, straightforward, I'm sorry, villain, dude. Dude right. Eats people. He's a cannibal. He was eating people. So I'm sorry, he's a villain. Downright villain. And, you know, just in time, I guess people are just changing it. Because he even becomes like a hero, doesn't he? Agent Venom? That's not really Eddie Brock. It's Flash.
Yeah,
but
Flash Thompson.
Yeah, and it's the symbiote still. Like, it doesn't... It's just like a better connection, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's all who
that's
he bonds
really
with.
In that comic book, right. He had like, yeah, so it's just the person and their intentions. You know what I mean? It just this gets that reaction off that symbiote.
Which I want to touch on. That's like one of the laziest writings. Oh, it matters who he's attached to. Really? Is that why he was evil when he was attached to Spider-Man?
Right?
Exactly. Well, originally,
like, oh, okay. So,
hey,
okay.
That means Spider-Man's evil, bro.
Yeah. See? No, see? He's not a hero. He's a villain.
Originally,
anti-hero Spider-Man, hashtag anti-hero.
Right, but originally, the symbiote brought out your darkest.
Correct.
And worst correct, of yes. you. So that's why Spider-Man was turning so mean and nasty. So that's what the symbiote does.
They also did this whole thing that the symbiote feeds off of adrenaline and certain other hormones that pass through you when you are through stressful situations. And the quickest way to get that adrenaline was doing those terrible deeds that it was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, Devin, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Thank
Stay
you,
cool out there in
Thank
AZ.
You, sir.
Anytime. Hey, thanks, guys. I'm going to go back to that broadcast and just keep watching, all right?
Keep the AC on,
you
son.
Thank all you, right. Jeff.
All right, man.
Appreciate it. All right, I think we got another caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Where are you calling from?
Hey.
What's your name?
I'm calling from Milford, Connecticut.
Nice.
All right.
My name is Angel. I want to go back to what you said about how Zod was obviously technically an anti-hero. My definition of an anti-hero is, did you do an evil action that could not have been done, or could it have been, like, done a different way? Yes, was Zod protecting his people? Of course. But he could have done that more in a diplomatic fashion rather than going out and trying to kill people. He did it in a different way. Venom, he could not kill people if he wanted to, but he does anyway. But because he kills bad guys, that makes him an anti-hero. But it's the way he does it that makes him the anti-hero.
So it's if I push you off a building or I, you know, give you some sleeping pills and you die, it's a difference how I kill you?
No, he's saying the different actions are like you could kill somebody or you could immobilize them. Yeah, you could immobilize them.
Like, but that's a hero. That's what a hero does.
No. This is what I'm saying. If you say you and me are in an alley somewhere and you just killed somebody and I have a gun to you and now the cops are coming, I could be a hero and let the cops get you and be fine, or I could shoot you, but because you're a villain, I still killed the bad guy, but I did it in a way that wasn't needed.
Oh, I get it.
I didn't kill
So it, he's like essentially saying like the whole, you know, the argument people have about Batman leaving the Joker alive.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, Batman arrests him and keeps him because that's what his code is. That's what he does as a hero.
Exactly.
He's saying that, you know, had he killed him, like, you know, then obviously he's able to kill him, but he won't do it because that's not what a hero does.
So another comparison. Exactly. Daredevil and the Punisher, the Devil will, like, you know, fuck you up, break your legs, and, like, you know, like, put you in the hospital.
He will.
But you'll be arrested at the end of the day still alive. The Punisher would just, like, you know, bust a cap in your ass and you're dead. And, like, that's that. And that's the difference between hero and anti-hero.
Exactly. By the way, my favorite anti-hero.
So when on that, why isn't the Punisher a straight-up villain?
He is not a villain.
Why isn't he a villain?
Because then? he only kills bad guys.
But he murders everybody. Okay, so, but yeah, right. Okay, again, so there's a fine, so if I don't murder a certain people, then I'm okay and I'm considered an anti-hero and not a villain?
Because the greater good in his own aspect is that he's taking these people off the streets.
Yeah, but
here's the thing.
Listen,
he's not killing a jaywalker. He's killing mobsters.
Right, but how many, all right, so in the mob crew, you got, you know, Joey Broken Nose, right? And Joey Broken Nose, he's only in there to feed his family. You know what I mean? He's not really a bad guy.
He may have murked a couple people.
He ain't murked nobody. Joey Broken Nose ain't murked nobody.
You know
he's at
Jerv
the bottom of the totem
when he's
pole.
He's trying to find a gangster's name. He reminds me of that scene from Osmosis Jones.
Played by
Who am I? Who am I? I'm Bad Booty Picanosis.
Joey Broken Nose, played by Owen Wilson.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But he just got murdered, and he's not really that bad of a dude, but the Punisher killed him.
Guilty by association.
He was abiding. Yeah, okay. He was working with an association that was doing that terrible crimes. All the time. Anybody that's ever worked in retail, you get yelled at because the prices aren't correct. Are you setting the prices? Are you setting... No. The corporation is.
Okay, so guilty by association.
Guilty by association.
Me and Jorge know more than it. How many people bitch about the goddamn dress code at a nightclub?
Because it sucks. I would have been with my hat and dingers in there anytime I want.
Guilty by association. You came with this crew. Same
All right,
thing.
Angel, I get your point. Good point, Angel. I give that to you, man. You made a very good point on that. I feel that. I'm with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Right,
thank
yeah, you, thanks brother. For calling.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Another good example of an anti-hero that I just thought of. Ghost from Ant-Man and the Wasp. I know there are some mixed reviews about that movie.
Actually,
but
yes.
She was literally trying to just like not die. And she was trying to like, you know, she was put in this horrible situation, put through like tests, made into
her
like,
parents were murked.
Parents were murked. And she was put in a situation where she was like, yo, if I don't do something, I'm going to die. And none of this is my fault. I have to survive.
Right, but do you have to kill people to survive?
And this
that was her last straw.
It was her last straw. She was like at wit's end. It's like, oh, I have to get through this. I went.
Jerv. How about Luke Skywalker? How about Luke Skywalker? Is Luke Skywalker a hero? The man has a kill count that could only be rivaled by a planet-destroying machine.
The Death Star.
So he killed thousands, hundreds of thousands of people on that Death Star.
He did, actually. He fucking murked everybody.
So is he a villain? Or is he a hero, Jerv?
It depends what side you're looking from.
Exactly!
There's a whole book about that. There's a whole Star Wars book about that called Lost Stars. It's told from the side of the
Empire.
The Empire, yes, thank you.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 tried to do that as well. They're trying to tell the story from the Empire.
The 501st Legion, yeah.
Like, it deals with, like, this entire class, like, from, like, the ages of 8 up until, like, the ages of, like, early 20s. And all of a sudden, Luke Skywalker comes in and kills all their friends. Just like, oh, that motherfucker. So it's all about a perspective in a sense.
It is all about perspective,
I think,
man.
We're talking about, like, more of, like, a case-by-case situation. Because from Luke Skywalker's point of view, it's like, yo, the Empire's, like, enslaving all these people. They're making, like, ruling the galaxy with the Iron Fist. It's all going towards the dark side. This giant ball is just like full of people who are just going to make the universe worse. I just have to eliminate it off the rip. And there is no other alternative to that. There was no like, oh, we can arrest all 100,000 people on the Death Star. It was like, yo, I get to get rid of them or like they're going to get rid of us.
There's a lot of examples. There's tons of examples.
They could have also just destroyed, you know, the crystals that were charging the weapon.
Correct.
So they can fix it and have it up and running.
Do you know how rare those crystals are? Come on, man. You know Star Wars lore. You should know how rare those crystals were.
Very rare, but it's not like they would have the opportunity to sneak onto that planet and destroy.
So one of the things that I've been looking up, because there's some, every time we describe these discussions, they always do this in college. So you kind of learn about hero, villain, anti-hero, if you want to go shades of gray. Ethics always teaches this in their classes. It's called the trolley problem. So which kind of what you were describing. If you have a situation where, like, for example, what they use in college all the time is the runaway trolley. It's a train that you can't control. On one track, it's going to hit five people.
The utilitarian.
Yeah, what you were saying. Yeah. We've talked about this before in other discussions. You have a train that's going to hit five people, or you can say, I don't want to, I need to divert to another train track, but it has one person on it. Which one do you do? And then there's always levels of...
Kill one instead of five.
It depends who the one person is on the track. Is it Bruce your grandma?
How much time do you have to talk to this person? All right, let me interview. You ever kill somebody? Oh, man, that train's coming real fast.
Hey, man.
Have you ever jaywalked in your life?
We can go on forever. There's
Let's
so
just
many.
All nuns.
There's tons of examples of this. If you were one of the people that got turkeys from Nino Brown for Christmas, and all of a sudden somebody killed Nino Brown, you probably hate the motherfucker that killed Nino Brown. That motherfucker gave me turkeys for Christmas.
It's just a turkey. I ain't worried about that.
So, here, real quick, I'm going to go to one of the fan questions as well, since we're kind of figuring out, like, what do we want to define as an anti-hero? Jason Martinez, 35, says, would you guys rather an anti-hero start as a villain who changes his mind and is more inclined to be helpful, or a good-intended person who says, screw it, and kills every once in a while?
I'd rather there be a story because anti-hero is a fake made-up
word. There you go.
Oh, shit.
But I'd rather see a villain turn good.
A villain reform?
Yeah. Even if it doesn't turn full all the way.
Not Red Hood?
No. I like
not Jason Todd?
If I'm saying what
that
I
was
enjoy
that's
more
a great hero to villain
oh,
story.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
But phenomenal. That's hero to villain. That dude's not no anti-hero. He's a straight-up villain.
No, he was. If by your definition,
he is an anti-hero, sir.
By your definition, he's finishing out crime. He's making sure all of the
he's in your gray area.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think that he's a villain. I think no matter how you look at it, it's villains. But if you're going to sit there and say that there's anti-heroes, he's an anti-hero.
This is very true.
Oof.
So, like, I guess...
Morality, man.
Follow-up question. I know you don't believe in anti-heroes, but who is your favorite anti-hero? Deadpool. Okay, fair. No. I didn't say anything there.
Look, let's...
Is there another answer?
He's not an anti-hero. He's a mercenary.
Exactly. Hold off on that. We got a caller on the line. We'll get back to that question, AJ. Caller, are you there? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Big Mo, and I'm from California.
What up, Big Mo? What's up? Baller. What's your thoughts on the topic tonight?
Well, I just was scrolling through your Instagram post, and I saw two of them that interested me. One of them was the "Who's your favorite all-time anti-hero?" And the other one was the "Who would win versus Parasite and Venom?"
Yeah. So who's your favorite anti-hero?
That caused a big argument amongst all of us.
Yeah.
My favorite anti-hero out of all of them is the Merc. Nah, I'm just joking. It's not Deadpool.
Thank God.
Yes, it is.
It's actually tied between Kratos, Red Hood, the Tim Drake Batman, and Venom.
You got a lot of them, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite letters, you know what you can spell? You know what you can spell with all those letters?
If you had to pick one out of that list, who's the main one?
Wade Wilson. I'm sorry?
If you had to pick one out of that list, who is your number one?
That would be the Tim Drake Batman.
You know what? That's very eventful.
Look, James liked that answer.
I perked up because you know what? I've never heard anybody say that answer. That Tim Drake Batman is literally it's almost reminiscent of the Flashpoint Batman, where he's just walking around just like, man, fuck, kiss my ass. You getting shot? He's like, no, don't touch me. No, it's over for your ass. You're getting shot. It's okay. I mean, he's not very much sarcastic. He's straight to the point, and he just basically points out the whole bare minimums of crime and just kills everybody that he meets.
Yeah. And our other post we put up, who went in a fight between Venom and Parasite? So who did you pick?
Who did you pick?
Actually, I think it will end up in like some sort of tie-ish like thing.
Come on, man! You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice, bro. Make a choice, Big Mo.
You got to tread that needle, man. One way or the other.
I'd say Venom.
There you go. Good answer.
That's the right answer.
We were talking about this earlier. It was causing such a big argument. Parasite can only absorb energy. He wouldn't be able to absorb anything.
He can absorb knowledge. He can absorb knowledge.
All right. There's
only through physical touch.
Memories, and right. And
because right. memorizing who Peter Parker is going to help him beat Venom.
Big Mo, thanks for the call, man. Representing from the West, y'all.
All right, so throwing that question back at you, favorite anti-hero?
I pick the Red Hood.
Yeah, that took a long time for you to say.
Everyone from here on the Instagram live saying Vegeta.
Vegeta, good pick.
Very good. Is he really an anti-hero at this point? Because like at first he was just like a straight up villain.
He was an asshole,
and
man.
Then he was anti-hero.
I'm giving him that. He's more asshole than anti-hero.
Yeah, he says he's a dick. But if someone comes starts like, yo, I'm gonna blow it up. He's like, I'm gonna stop you, and he'll do his job. Like, how is he an? What makes Vegeta an anti-hero as opposed to more of just like a
as
regular
to being a
hero.
Reformed hero,
a reformed villain turned hero?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Like, you could be a hero, but
he only
be
you know why? Because he's unconventional. How he does
unconventional. Right.
No.
He does the exact same thing.
He does.
That's an honor code.
He only became a hero so he could get some ass. Because you know damn well his woman, once he saw her, he was like, that's the reason I'm a hero
all
now. That's all it took.
That's how we found God.
I'm a hero now.
That's his Bulma.
That's my Bulma.
Who do you pick, Ed? Bravo.
At this point, why not, right? With all your discussions, might as well be. I mean, I know the obvious option, what we're talking about is Deadpool, of course, just because he's kind of that character who kind of does things for himself, but in the end, kind of accidentally or even intentionally does things that involve the greater good. But more or less, because he's a mercenary by trade, everything revolves around himself. But in the end, most of his actions also revolve around the greater good as well. But are we at a point with Deadpool because of his following and his fan base? Are we almost glamorizing him too much as a hero in a way? that he's moving away from anti-hero status?
I think that that most villains want to be him in the ways that that he takes care of his business and the way that he comes to a final conclusion. They just can't.
You see, I don't,
and that's why they have so many clones.
They're like, so written into their code,
yeah,
that they're like, well, fuck, he's like finishing them off in like 20 minutes. I got to sit there and have a conversation with him and tell him, be like, yo, you really don't want to do this. You're going to destroy the world. And
yeah.
Deadpool's like, all right, cap him now. Fuck it. Bah, yep. Bah.
Do you expect me to suffer? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Then why not aim the laser at his fucking head?
That's it. Yeah, right.
That's it. Just end it.
So, like, is he even an anti-hero? Because the way I see it, he's a mercenary. He does
Which
what
is
he
a
wants
villain.
For himself whenever he wants, and he occasionally does the right thing because he feels like it. If you occasionally do the right thing, but you're killing, like, random, like, you know, people just because you're getting paid for it, you're not really an anti-hero. You're anti-villain at best.
Yes. I like that
There's
word.
No anti-villain. You,
there is, and no, I like
not.
It. And
you're
Deadpool
neither.
Is an anti-villain. Absolutely. He's a mercenary who makes him a villain, and yeah. Look, man, it's whenever his crazy mind feels like
so
he
wait,
wants to Jerv, do something good.
Jerv, all mercenaries are villains. All people that get paid to do mercenary jobs are villains.
Yes, Bravo.
All right, what about soldiers?
Make me eat my words, Bravo. No. I knew where this was going. I knew where this was going.
So how do you feel about soldiers then?
I knew where this is going, Bravo. And
not even just our soldiers, all soldiers.
No, Bravo.
I guess there's a difference between a mercenary and a hitman. Like, soldiers are like, oh, go over here, defend this village. Oh, we have to attack these people. It's still going to kill us.
But
mercenaries.
But still.
Hitman,
what
kill this person because he's like my competition in this foreign market, and I'm trying to make more money over there. Like, hitman slash mercenary.
But what happens if you're taking contracts that only are valid to harm bad people?
I mean,
what if it is for the greater good?
But killing bad people is still killing. We keep on missing this point, I think. Killing bad people is still killing, isn't it?
Killing bad people is killing.
It's not?
So what about soldiers?
Killing bad people is killing, is it not?
It's killing.
That's my question. I didn't ask that. I said killing bad people is killing. Is that correct, Bravo?
Is red red?
I gotta get it back.
Is this table a table?
I gotta get it back somehow, Bravo.
This is getting too existential. What are we doing?
Oh my God.
Oh, man. I need a one back, Bravo. Come on, man. Help me out.
Trevor, you should know by now. No one wins against arguing with me.
Sir Pugsley III on Instagram Live says it's consider Spawn an anti-hero.
Ah, because he made a deal with the devil?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Spawn
helped out a lot of good people.
Yeah.
Spawn fought for heaven. But then we found out heaven was corrupt.
Well, yeah, he fought for the same reasons that Constantine basically fought. Is basically the reasoning because he was already a dead soul. He had committed so many sins that it was kind of like a far stretch for him to get back in the graces of his wife and his kid.
At the end of the day, I feel this whole entire argument all revolves around what you view as morality.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, somebody stealing is a crime, correct? If somebody's stealing food for their family, are they a bad person?
Because they're hungry.
Correct.
Yes, they're not
are
a
they
bad
a bad
person?
Right.
No, they're hungry.
Right. So committing a crime, they're still a criminal. Yes, they're still a criminal. But they're doing it for the right reasons.
Correct.
So are they an evil person?
No.
Depends on your ethics code. I think that's kind of what we were mentioning with like the trolley problem and all the other scenarios, whether it be real life, comic book, movie, video game, anything like that. It revolves around your own personal ethics code. What do you think is right or wrong? Do you think you're a hero in your own mind? And the other person that's trying to stop you from doing something, are they the villain in your own mind? So it all depends on what your decisions on right and wrong are. And all we're trying to do in a way as a society is kind of classify it and put it in a box of either hero or villain, regardless of what you do, whether it's right, wrong, whether you think it's right or wrong. It's kind of putting it into a box. And that's kind of where the anti-hero term, I think, comes from. It's sort of like, you know, I don't fit in this mold in some way, shape, or form. That's how I always see it. What?
Yo, Bravo.
What is Bravo doing over here?
By the way, my favorite anti-hero is Lobo.
Love it.
Well, Cage Nerd on Instagram saying, is Jamie Lannister her name?
Who the fuck is she? She's a damn fucking villain.
That gets busy with her brother.
I thought you said Jamie. Did you say Jamie?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jamie
Lannister. That gets busy with his sister.
There you go. All right. We've
so,
called that one.
So why do people root for the anti-hero so much?
Because
or let me ask, do you think people root for the anti-hero more than they root for
the hero?
I think in the day and age that we're in right now,
And why is that?
Because
anarchy. Down with the system.
Yeah, because back in the day, we basically lived in rainbows and bubblegum. And we liked our heroes to basically beat the bad guys up and smile at the end of the movie, but that's not really realistic.
Was it too because things were more black and white back then?
They were.
So yeah, it made absolutely. It just so much easier.
Well, this is the thing.
Who the hero was.
This is the thing. They weren't necessarily black and white. They wanted you to believe it was black and white. That was what the stories basically foretold us to how it should
be
told.
At the end of the day, the 1950s and all of, like, when you're looking at the comic Golden Ages and Silver Age, that time period, the whole American dream was very believable, and people had a more optimistic view on living in our society, whereas now we're a little more jaded. We know what it's like. The economy's like tanking, and like it's getting rougher for a lot of people to carry on with that American dream because we know it's not realistic. So at the end of the day, it's happening the same thing with our crime and with our justice. We're not seeing a lot of actual justice happening. We're even seeing people where they're getting tried for terrible, terrible, terrible crimes, and they're walking out in a month. Meanwhile, people who are caught with minor to inconvenient crimes
are going
to jail for years. So we feel like we're losing that term of justice and that finality that a lot of anti-heroes offer, where it's killing these villains, removing them from our society, saying, listen, if you can't play by society's rules, if you're not here for the betterment of society, you don't belong in it. That's what I feel is making a lot of people resonate with these anti-heroes and the whole call towards that.
And I kind of feel is that's the reason that Batman has kind of stood the test of time, because he's always been a dark character. He's always been plain face. He's never really like smiled at the camera. His personality is extremely vague.
Adam West.
Yes. Except for the comedic right. Adam West. But I'm saying, like, currently into now, like, this is not the type of personality where you have a playboy that doesn't like, he's not a show off like Clark Kent. He's not like in front of the camera, smiling for the camera, kids, eat your Wheaties and your vitamins, and then goes and flies away into the sunset. He's basically telling you how it is. It's fucked up out here. You need to get off the streets. I'm gonna go save the day. Make sure you're not out here when I'm doing what I'm doing. And then that's kind of what he does day in and day out.
So is the hero on the way out? And the rise
the hero
of
the
Bravo hates it, but we're going to say it still. The rise of the anti-hero is here.
I think the term hero is like out the window, because the perception of what we have as a hero is too far fetched.
I don't know. All Might from I Hear Academia is straight up hero. My hero.
Are you keeping up with the manga?
I'm not. I'm watching.
Oh
anime.
My God! What is wrong with you, AJ?
I just watched the anime. It's fun. It's so good.
God, read the fucking manga. It's so good. they're even talking about his origins right now.
I think.
Wait. So you're saying you want to see the movie with me when it comes out?
Oh, absolutely.
Month.
Oh yeah.
I say this basically: when you used to watch a movie in the 80s, you knew that at the end of the day, like the villain, the hero was going to win, and there was going to be this like this super climactic ending where, you know, like there was going to be some beautiful music in the background,
some monologuing,
monologuing and everything. That's not real.
Nope.
None of it's real.
I think the term, in essence, we could be in a situation where anti-hero can replace the term hero. Every time we think of the word hero, just kind of from our conversation, I keep thinking of like Superman. When we talk about like the 50s, when comic books were really starting to gain form, you're thinking of like the perfect good, the perfect evil. You had Superman and his gallery of villains. But then when you had comic books like Batman, when you get into this age of comic books, now you kind of see that the antihero who's trying to pretty much stop the world in unconventional ways, if you will, you're trying to help society no matter what. And we live in a society where everything just seems to want to put us down, or we feel like we're at a lesser status quo. So you have these heroes, if you will, quote unquote, who are like, no, we, you know, this is a bad status quo, so we want to fix it in any way possible. And I think me personally, I think the rise of the anti-hero, or what we assume with hero and villain, probably started with the Dark Knight, to me at least, because you have Batman, but you have the Joker as well, who we kind of, a lot of us in the comic book realm kind of like glamorize a lot. And yes, we glamorize him so much that it kind of removes the stigma from what his main goal was when we were watching the Dark Knight. But in a way, a lot of us are resonating more with his view on society, because he thinks what he's doing is good. Yeah. He basically wants to call, you know, uprise the status quo. because the status quo is too imbalanced, if you will, with like the one percenters and the lower middle class and those who are trying to like basically
read White Knight. White Knight.
Yeah, you saw what he did basically at the end, like as far as the movie, what he did with Two-Face.
Exactly.
No, but I'm saying there's a comic that just came out called White Knight.
I heard about this.
It's literally all about how this whole time Batman was unwillingly helping Gotham's elite.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly. It's
but that would be fucking weird as hell.
But piggybacking off of what you two were talking about, I'm actually going to go back further and say that it actually has to do with the origin of Marvel's characters, not Marvel movies, the original Marvel characters. Because what happened, in my opinion, with what you said, Jerv, like, are we moving towards that? No, I feel what we're seeing more is complex characters. We're seeing that people aren't good or evil. People are shades of gray. We're seeing that, you know, one of the most popular forms of all media right now is Game of Thrones. And we're seeing, like, listen, bad people can do good things. Good people can do bad things. Right. At the end of the day, and a good
Arya
person
is
can
fucking
become,
nuts.
Yeah. A good person can become a bad person. A bad person can become a good person and then go back. They can flow within it.
Arya Stark's a maniac.
It's being human. Right. It's being well-rounded.
Right.
And I think storytelling, like, in this day and age is significantly, as a whole anyway, significantly better than storytelling was 10, 20, definitely more so than 30 years ago.
Agreed.
It's just progressively getting better. We demand more because we've already seen so much.
And that's the thing. We saw all the way back then Marvel characters were being introduced and then it was, oh man, he's an alcoholic. Oh man, his sidekick is a drug addict. Oh man, he's a womanizer. Like all of these things that were happening with heroes, villains, and everything, and it was getting a little more depth. And now we're seeing in all of these stories that we're following, be it movies, books, TV shows, whatever it is, we're seeing the characters are being a lot more complex. You know, at the end of the day, the new thing that we're seeing with villains is that they are, in their mind, the hero. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved Killmonger. Yes, he was doing the wrong thing. He was doing it the wrong way. But at the end of the day, you can't say that his message didn't resonate with everybody. Even T'Challa agreed, like, listen, you are right. What you're doing is completely wrong. And you're not 100% right, but you do bring up a valid point, and I'm going to change how I live because of it.
Right. And I think the good point is we still understand what is right and what is wrong. Like you said, T'Challa, what you're doing is wrong. Like, we know this is still wrong, even though your intentions might be right behind it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big point, too. So Luke Cage season 2, the way it ended, is Luke any hero?
There's no such word as anti-hero.
So I'm going to lose a lot of credit on this one, but I actually have not finished Luke Cage season 2.
Oh, man, for real?
I did not.
You have not watched The Bushmaster?
Wait, did you notice that he waited until Darnell was not here to say this?
Damn,
I said I didn't finish it.
What's the young boy doing that you ain't finished?
Jesus Christ.
Well, you see, I have a full-time job. Okay. I have a full-time
and? Girl. What the hell?
Full-time video game schedule.
And?
Brother, we have a career.
Oh, no, you got to. You got a GF now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's a different. Never mind. I understand why you ain't finished.
I am devoting my time to my woman on a regular basis.
AJ. I have a girlfriend 5 years, been looking for a house. I have 2 jobs, and I write in my spare time. And I play video games, too. You should have seen it.
Okay, let me
should have watched it.
I have chosen to watch different shows, such as My Hero Academia. Everyone here should watch it. It's great.
Did you cry?
No, everybody should read it, then watch it.
Or you can watch it, then read it.
What season is that on?
Third.
Did you cry at the end?
The end of what?
The end of My Hero Academia?
It's not over yet.
It's not over yet?
No, at the end? Bro, this shit just started, man.
Ooh,
and you're talking about a manga that's going to go on for like 10 years minimum.
10 years. It's the new Naruto, but better.
You mean it's like the new Young and the Restless? Jesus Christ.
That's how manga goes, man. That's how manga goes. One Piece has been over 20 years.
Yeah, no, fuck that. No,
I'll
follow. It's okay.
So
I don't rock.
All right, Ed's got some questions.
Yep, so I got 3 questions off here from the Ask Us Anything on Instagram.com/ThePartyNerds. I got a couple questions to ask. Here we go. Oscar H2814. Who wins?
Me.
Doomsday or Thanos? No Infinity Gauntlet involved.
Doomsday? What kind of fucking question is
that? I don't know why he had to put the
no Infinity Gauntlet. The Infinity Gauntlet?
Why?
Doomsday.
Explain to the people Doomsday. Why Doomsday.
Okay, so wait. Unless you're referring to the first death, If you're referring to the first death and then it's over, then yes, probably Thanos because of how powerful he is. But Doomsday, at the end of the day, no matter what happens, he gets killed from something and then comes back and stronger can't be than what killed he is. That way. He's been atomized. He destroyed Darkseid with one single punch. One punch.
So,
and dragged him through Apocalypse.
Right. So first fight, one fight. That's it.
One fight. First death?
Yes.
He turned him into Hector from Troy, okay. Man. Yeah. He basically turned him into Hector from Troy.
I think we gotta be, you gotta make that clarification about that. Yeah. That's why. He can come back so Thanos couldn't kill him the same way twice.
You'd have to completely atomize him, which Thanos can't do. And if he had the Infinity Gauntlet, you could send him to the end of time, which is what they did at the end of Hunter and Pride. Yep.
Wild. How much, yo_boy15, who's trying to take my username apparently.
You know what I
mean? How much of an anti-hero will Venom be in the movie?
Won't be. I think.
Will he be? Will it be more villainous? Nah, or
I think it'll be a lot more anti-hero because Eddie Brock isn't a bad guy.
Right.
In this, Venom has a goal in this too. We don't know what it is yet, but from what I'm hearing and everything,
that's the thing that I would like to know.
Venom is trying to stop these other symbiotes, so it might be a little partnership they have. So that
King of the Hill, man,
definitely, anti-hero more than anything.
And I got one last question from the Instagram post, Lemahi17, and preface this for me. Is Zack Snyder still in DC or he's done?
He's done.
Okay. He's done.
So with that retrospect, do you think now that Zack Snyder's out of the DCU, will they make the Dead Robin, which they teased in BVS, will it make him Jason Todd or do something stupid and keep it Dick Grayson?
I would love if it was Jason Todd.
Agreed.
That would be fucking fabulous for the DCEU because if comic book fans actually got their claws into this, mm-hmm. and predicated the faction of that story being built from the bottom up, to where Jason Todd's character is evolved and then just protrudes assholishness and ass kicking to Gotham.
Yeah,
come on, man, that would be like a no brainer as far as like bringing him to, and you could literally bring in who was it? Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You could bring him in.
Yeah, he's still in.
I mean, he was Dick Grayson.
Yes,
he was Dick Grayson. He wasn't Jason Todd.
Right.
So I'm wrong there. So I would not bring that person, and they would have to bring in another Robin in order to be like, man, fuck Batman's morals. It's not getting a job.
You already got that in the Teen Titans.
Yeah,
fuck you got Batman. That.
Exactly.
No. It's awful. Fuck his morals. He's not getting a job done. I'm gonna show you how this shit should really be done. Joker murked me. You did nothing. And I'm going to basically show you how it should be done. That's the moral of that story.
Is the Titans Robin Dick Grayson? The one in Titans?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Dick Grayson.
I mean, if you think about it.
And just real quick, just to jump off something you said earlier, AJ, you said a comment about how they did test screenings for Venom and the people were asking, where is Spider-Man in this movie? I'm surprised people, I really am, that they associate Spider-Man with Venom. And I know we all know that because we are all fans, but I'm thinking test screen is probably the average person who may not know
Venom
all the history
is more popular
and stuff.
Than you
so
think.
Yeah, that's what's surprising to me that was what people were looking for.
Yeah, it's just like because like Venom got his powers from Spider-Man. Like the symbiote came from space, attached to Spider-Man. That's why when the
that's why he can do web crawling. That's why he has super strength.
That's why he does every. Yeah,
that's why he's immune to the spider sense.
Like, Spider-Man didn't create Venom, but he made Venom who he is. So making a Venom movie without Spider-Man, for the people who even know a little bit about him, it's like, okay, so, like, where's Peter Parker? Like, where's my homie?
I just, like, he had to be attached to him the correct size.
You got it.
He had to be attached to him first.
One more, Ed?
One more. Matt.Drennan. Who's going to be the next major villain in the MCU? Like, if they do another Avengers team-up, who's going to be the next villain?
The Skrull Invasion.
The Skrull.
The Skrull Invasion. Super Skrull, man.
Shout out to our sponsor, Ayton Sam Brewery.
Hell yeah.
Out in Woodbury, New Jersey.
Say brewery
1003
again.
North Evergreen Avenue.
They got a party coming up in September. We're going to be there.
September 8th is their second year anniversary.
There's an anti-hero.
Party Nerds are going to be there. It's the Party Nerds second year anniversary, too. So we've got something big
planned. We're almost at 100th episode, people.
Yo, we got a lot of stuff coming up in the near future.
Yep.
The first offenders is coming. Larry Cage himself in the house. Look out for my man Larry Cage.
Don't forget, see me at Play NYC Manhattan Center this weekend. I will be there all weekend with my party nerds gear.
You got that, party nerds? We out! Yeah.